to live righteously. It's time for another edition of the Cultural Hall. It's articles of news for the week of the 10th of July, recorded, unfortunately, on the 13th of July. But you know what? It was worth the wait. Kate is here. Hello, Kate.
Good morning.
Mother of two twins, and now you're leaving us. What's the deal? Let's talk about that
out of the gate. Yeah, last time I was here, I was pregnant.
You were, if I may say, great with child.
That's where I was going with it. Yeah. Large and in charge. Yeah. Either one. So, yeah, no longer. Babies are here.
Great. Thank How long you. Ago was it?
They will be 1 year old on the 30th.
Killing so it.
Pretty close.
Killing
yeah.
it.
Awesome.
How's dad hanging
much
in there?
Much better.
Because he was freaking out, if we can be completely candid, before those kids were born.
Totally.
That was a guy that was like,
oh my gosh.
I don't know. I don't know what we're doing here.
Yeah. I mean, gosh, I think the episode we were doing was on, you know, my anxiety with postpartum depression and like, am I going to get it? Mm-hmm. Oh, we totally got it.
Yes.
We hit bottom. It was bad.
Cry?
It was
so lots bad. Of tears?
Oh, it was so many tears. Mostly dad's, let's be honest. So
mostly dad's tears?
Yeah, men what, get postpartum. Yeah. I had no idea. Lindsay was here with us when we did that.
Throw your hands up in the A-yerts.
Listen
to her on the mom show.
Oh, we did many times. And she actually came over and rescued us that first Sunday we got home because
really?
We were just like, what is it called? Depths of despair. Yeah, it was so bad.
Wait, talk to me. I don't know that I know about all this. Can we get into it?
Sure. It was, I didn't know it was a thing, but I called her. I was like, Lindsay, my husband's kind of sad. He's kind of freaking out. You know, can men have postpartum? And she said, totally. And we were talking to my doctor. I had to go see my OB and, you know, because I'm trying to keep it together myself.
Right.
But I'm trying to figure out how to take care of these two children, these two infants and my husband.
Yeah, this like, guy you love. Yeah. You're like, wait, what have I done? Did I do something?
It was rough. It was so rough. It was, you know, I think the reality hit us. You're leaving the hospital, and their little heads are in the back, like wobbling around. Like we can't even get home because we're worried about their heads and them suffocating themselves. And all of a sudden, we get home and we're like, "What do we do?" You know, it seems like okay, well, you take care of them. No, it's like life is totally rocked. And but it's amazing too. You know, everybody says that, but gosh, I don't even know how. I think I've blocked most of it out because I'm trying to remember. I'm like, why was it so bad? Why did we like want to walk out the door and leave these children? And I know that's horrible to say, but that's how it was. So I called Lindsay and I was like, we need help. She dropped what she was doing as soon as like church was over and came over that first Sunday. Mm-hmm. We got home on Saturday. She came over on Sunday and talked us through how rough it could be and told us we're okay. It's, you know, this can happen. This is normal. Ben had to kind of address some depression issues, and it lasted for quite a while, and it's come and gone a few times here and there, so it's a real thing,
right?
Yeah, you just got to be aware of it. But you know, as long as we know that it was normal and we're okay, like that's kind of what kept us going for, you know, from moment to moment.
Yeah, so, we're fine. We'll get through it.
Yeah. And then the next day you're up and you're just like, what? Why is this child screaming again? You know, what's wrong with my kid? Why? You know, and he started having these conversations with other dad friends.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that helped a lot, too. You know, because it's not really a guy thing you talk about.
Right.
You know? You don't hear a lot.
Yeah, the ladies talk about kids. The men talk about when we were single.
Exactly. And I think he wanted to be single at that point.
Yeah, he's like, this was great. Great.
Yeah.
Thanks for the experience.
Yeah. Everybody else makes it look so easy, but he's an awesome dad now. So good.
Yeah.
Like the babies light up as soon as he comes in, and you know, their first word was dad ass.
Yeah.
I think we're
take
kinda,
that, mama.
Exactly. We're still working on mama, so whatever. I'm not the favorite, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're good. We're good now. And now we're just, he got into grad school. That's why we're leaving.
Oh, nice. Yeah. What is he doing?
Master's of Psychology and Counseling. Yeah,
okay.
That's it.
and where are you headed?
We're going to Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Oh, geez.
I know.
There you go.
And mosquitoes.
I'll be coming to visit you next summer.
Really?
Yeah.
Promise?
No, I really am coming
really?
To Louisiana
oh, okay.
next
so
summer.
Not just
so.
Because of us. Thanks,
no.
What for?
No, I'll see you.
What for?
The girl I'm seeing, she's from Louisiana.
No.
Yes.
What part?
Lafayette.
That's not
what you have
that's
to
like
say.
An hour away.
What you have to say.
Lafayette. Oh, is it Lafayette?
Yeah. Or Lafayette. Depending. You just have to say it in that cadence.
I don't say anything
because
down there right. They all have like...
Hamilton reference.
Oh, okay. That's why.
Yeah. You have to say it like
got
that.
Got it.
People that are listening are like, yeah, I get it. And then they're like, no, she didn't get it. So you had to explain it.
Yeah, you're right. Thanks. I appreciate that. I'm a Western girl. I don't know the South yet. Or Hamilton, obviously. So I've heard of it.
Yeah. It's great.
Don't judge me.
Both the South and Hamilton. So you'll be there, what, a couple years? Three-year program?
Well, it's a two-year program, one-year internship, and then we may just stay there.
Really?
His family's from there. He's from there, too.
Okay.
So Lafayette.
Or Lafayette. Right?
Whatever. Mm-hmm. It's only an hour away.
Nice. Okay, yeah. I'll come see you.
Awesome.
So you know what he's totally done. Do you recognize what he's done?
Oh, tell me.
He's got you to go back to his hometown.
I know.
So he's winning, right?
Well, he has a bigger family than I do.
Yeah.
My mom's actually selling her house as well and coming with us.
Really?
So it's getting pretty
Mom,
permanent.
No dad?
Dad, my parents are divorced.
Okay.
So he's up in Washington.
Okay.
Has his own life up there.
And mom's like, listen, Kate's going, I'll go.
Yeah.
Is that really?
Kate's going. It's the babies are going. I'm going too. I'm not kidding.
Really?
I'm not kidding. It's all about them.
But she's not going to be like mom next door, right? Or like mom in the mother-in-law apartment. Are you doing that?
Oh, yeah, we are.
You are doing that?
We actually are going to... The plan is we're going to build.
Okay.
So we're going to rent for a couple months. We found a house already.
But is it good? Is it good for both parties?
I think so. Ben's a little concerned.
Right.
I don't blame him. I'm concerned.
Yeah, you need to have that space. So it's like, hey, me and my wife are going to be autonomous, and we'll come see you, and you get the opportunity to...
Yeah.
But you start putting people in the same walls, it starts to get...
I know. Yeah,
unless it is
concerned.
A perfected relationship, it can be flawed. In a great way.
Yeah, there have already been some issues come up, and I'm like, Mom, this is my husband. You don't get to have an opinion.
Right. So. Yeah. Guess what? We were going to figure this out. So I'm not sure what you're weighing in on, but we got this.
Yeah. I think, you know, ideally it's going to be great, though, because she wants to be involved. She was a working mom. She was never home when I came home from school. I was always at a babysitter until, like, I was old enough to take care of myself.
Sure.
But Ben will be busy with school and his counseling practice. I plan on working full-time, kind of out of necessity. But at that point, when it's no longer a necessity, the kids will be in school. So I'm kind of going that career path again. And Grandma will be home, you know. I'm going to have a nanny when I get there again. And my mom will be there as a backup. Grandma will be there as a backup.
Sure.
But, yeah, for now, it's going to be kind of nice. So I won't have to worry so much.
And there you go.
My mom guilt maybe can go away a little bit.
So. Yeah. Are you listening, Mom? Sorry. She loves you.
See.
You can tell that you love her, but there's nothing wrong with having boundaries and being loving, right?
Yeah, you have to. And we have to learn that still. So it's a learned skill because people don't read my mind for some reason. I thought everybody
What
did,
is their deal?
It'd
be so much easier if you just knew my mind right now.
I know. My family had a very frank conversation with me last week and said I'm kind of mean. So
are you?
Apparently I am.
Yeah.
I'm working on that now. We'll bring that up in our next counseling
Interesting.
Session.
I know. Interesting.
Yeah. They say I don't sugarcoat things very well in the family. Everybody else, I'm super nice and everything.
Interesting. But with family, you're just like, meh.
Yeah. It's just because my excuse, I don't know if it's an excuse, it's my reality, is I have so much to do. Everybody's relying on me. I've got to plan the house. I've got to plan around the kids' schedules, my work schedule, my husband's schooling, my mom, trying to mesh all these like personalities and relationships.
Right. You're like, I don't have time to flower this up.
I
got time to tell you what I need, and that's it.
Yeah. So I've got to work on that and become maybe
I'm like a little that bit sometimes. Like I'll call up my mom, and there'll be times where I just want to talk, and she's like this too, and this is where I get it from. But she'll be like, oh, so I'm a car today, and it's really nice. And I'm like, bottom line me, what do you need right now?
Exactly. Yes, and they just want to talk to us because they love us.
Right.
And they just want to have a conversation with us, and we're just like, what do you want?
Yeah, and I'm not always like that, but I really will. I will in conversations with people, or like if I got stuff going on at work and you know someone here wants to talk to me, I'll just be like, all right, you're great. This is going to be so great. Bottom line, what are you after right now? Because I'd like to just answer your question and then get us both on our day.
If you're saying it like that, like I wouldn't be offended. Like
right.
You actually sound nice, but I think I need to, soften my approach.
Shut up. What do you want? Yeah, you may take a different approach.
Oh, Richie, I can learn a lot.
And you should. And you should. Anything else new or exciting for you? Are you still working for the church?
Still working for the church.
Are you going to be able to? You won't be able to do that out there, right?
No.
A calling, but that doesn't pay that well.
Okay, this is a funny thing. I worked for the church for almost 4 years now, and you know, there's
this
so many
the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, so that there's no sort of assumptions.
Exactly. And, you know, going to Louisiana, you know, we got some Bible Belt stuff going
sure.
on. You know, there's only two wards in the area that we're going to. So, you
that'll
know,
be great. An opportunity to share your testimony.
Absolutely.
Be hated a little bit. Sure, too.
I know, right? I'll be the minority for once. I deserve that. And, you know, I applied for a job because there's not a lot of, as you know, the job economy, you know, situation.
In the South is not great.
Not as great and not as many openings. And so you kind of take what you can get and apply for what's available. And I had to giggle a little bit. There was a job posted in Beaumont, Texas, you know, like an hour or whatever away. And it was for, I can't remember the exact name, but it was like a Trinity Lutheran Church.
Yes.
For an executive assistant there. I'm like, I'm going to apply.
So done.
I know. I'm like, I'm going to make somebody laugh at this, yeah. you know, because if someone, you know, anyway.
I currently work for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day
exactly.
Saints. You want to hire me? And they're like,
thank you for applying. Your needs do not meet our. Yeah. I was way overqualified, let's be honest, for that position, but that's just my own confidence speaking.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
Do you have something lined up out there?
No, no, I don't.
So
no.
Lots of prayers. And if anyone has connections in?
In Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Lake Charles.
Southwest.
Isn't that
Louisiana.
Where it floods a lot in Lake
yeah.
Charles with hurricanes and stuff?
Absolutely.
Will you be safe?
I'll let you know.
you'll get little inflatables for the kids'
yeah,
cribs, right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
That float if the water comes up behind them.
Yeah.
Auto inflate.
Wouldn't that? I can picture that. That actually sounds fun.
Yeah.
But there was a video just posted probably like 3 weeks ago. They had a flood recently, and I didn't really. It was like on ABC News, and there were people like kayaking down the street, and I'm like, wait a minute. I didn't sign up for this, but
yeah.
I guess I did.
No,
so.
You did.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, marriage. I have no choice.
High ground. Maybe Beaumont, Texas might be a little bit
exactly.
better and he can commute in.
Yeah, we're right on the border of Texas, so yeah, shouldn't be too far. Alligators,
yeah.
No big deal.
Hot. It sounds hot and humid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'll come check it out.
Yeah, let me know what you think.
Okay, I will.
I'm excited for you.
Anything else? Anything else we got?
Oh, God, goodness. No, just working at the church, living the dream.
Yeah.
Working broadcasting events now, and I'm their assistant, and so they're busy, and everybody's gone.
Are you doing anything with the Book of Mormon stuff down in Goshen?
No, but all my guys are. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't say guys, because there's women, too.
Yeah.
But,
your staff.
My staff, yeah. They're all getting ready for that, and they're out in Nauvoo doing the pageants, and, you know, it's just fun seeing what they do.
You ever been out there to the Nauvoo pageant?
I'm from Nauvoo, actually.
Are you really?
I'm from the Nauvoo
Why
Stake.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I grew up in.
So you're grown
Burlington.
Up, City of Joseph, City Beautiful, the
City
old school.
City of Joseph, Nauvoo.
Yeah, old school, totally. Nauvoo pageant.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's. I haven't seen the new pageant though. Have you?
No, I don't think I went. Probably 8 years ago, and I don't think that was the new one, right? Was it?
If it had that song, in it
didn't have that song in
okay.
it. No,
no,
no.
Then,
it was
then,
good.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but
I don't remember it.
It's a
Here's
huge.
What,
production and
yeah.
commercialized.
And Here's what I remember about it. The ice cream store stayed open until like midnight at Nauvoo, which I was like, way to go, Nauvoo. And they're like, yeah, we only do this when it's the Nauvoo pageant.
Yeah.
And then the other thing was, I remember it was so humid. There's a statue of Joseph and Hiram that has kind of the Nauvoo temple in the background.
Mm-hmm.
And the statue was sweating.
No.
Like the.
How is that possible?
Because just like a drink, right?
Yeah,
the humidity outside. And then the metal, I guess, was cooler than it was outside. So all the condensation. And it was the most insane experience.
Yeah.
I was like that.
Can you imagine being a pioneer back in that day?
No, miserable because it was swampland.
Yeah.
When I went, the Mississippi was flooding. And so I drove from Chicago down in the middle of the night, and like I would come on stretches of things where I'd look out like to either side and the river was on either side of the road, and I'm like, I'm gonna get, you know, flood swept away, and there's cop lights in the distance, and I'm just like,
hazard.
Wants me to go to Nauvoo, you know, driving down the road. It was
have faith, brother.
Yeah. It was freaky, though, so I can't even imagine being a pioneer.
I cannot. I mean, I grew up right across the river in Burlington, so
okay.
It's kind of the same stake. About 40, you know, 40 minutes away is the same stake out there.
Yeah, and they've got a great coat factory there, right?
You know, you would think,
it's not more than great coats?
No.
Really push that joke. Sorry, everyone. Not rewarding.
Yeah, no more coat factory. Aren't we just Burlington now?
Yeah, just, I don't know.
It's just Burlington.
Well, because they're more than great coats.
Absolutely. That's right.
That joke brought to you by commercials in Utah.
Dun,
so pretty small then.
Yeah. 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 Huh. It was great. I loved it. I don't know. I grew up playing on the temple grounds, you know, before there was a temple. It was just this like sunken in plot.
Youth conferences and stuff like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's completely different with how much the church has invested money, both in our property and in the property that the Community of Christ, which used to be the Reorganized Church.
Yep.
Like, they give them a bunch of money. I think that's fascinating.
Yep.
To be able to restore
those
things. I
went to school with members of, well, at the time it was the Reorganized Church.
Uh-huh. And, isn't that fascinating?
Yeah.
Trying to teach the gospel to those people was fascinating, too.
It was different. I remember one time, I was in a math class. I was in eighth grade, and we were talking about life after death.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I was a little outspoken back then, totally that annoying
what?
Girl.
Hang on.
No.
Oh, hold on.
What?
Outspoken? I'm having a hard time believing that. And?
I brought in the book Beyond the Veil. Do you remember? Did you ever hear that book? It's like stories of people who used to see the light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, yes.
Okay, so back in the 90s, that was kind of, you know, we didn't have the internet and all that stuff. But this was a book, and I was fascinated. I was always fascinated with life after death. And I had this book, Beyond the Veil, and I took it to my math class, and I started reading different stories. And I still look back, I'm like, why did my teacher let me do this?
Right.
And, you know, there was a guy that was a member of the Reorganized Church, and he's like, I don't think we teach this in our, you know.
It
was, I'm like, I don't know why I'm teaching you either, but I look back at that, I'm like, interesting. But, yeah, I don't think I would do that now.
We'd like to get back to math class. Hold on. One more story. As I peered into the celestial kingdom.
I was seriously that kid. I'm sorry. Everybody,
my book report is on the Book of Nephi. I have friends who are elementary school teachers who...
And it happens?
And they have kids who will do book reports on the Book of Mormon.
I wasn't that kid, but I was the other kid.
Yeah.
So it's the other one.
That's awesome. Well, good luck to you move. When do you move?
August 1st.
So are you abandoning us completely?
I don't know. We haven't talked about that.
I know.
Do you?
I would love to have you in whatever capacity you're willing.
I hope so.
But I know I'm hearing that you're busy, and you've never been mean to me, I want you to know.
Oh, I've tried not to be.
Yeah.
I try not to be mean to anyone but my family.
But your family. And then everyone else.
I'm working on it. Check back with me.
Okay. I will. We'll have a little interview once a month.
I'll do my yearly update with you. How about that?
Okay, yearly.
Yeah.
I was saying monthly, but I guess we can go once a year.
We'll see.
We just need to be better. That's all.
We do. We'll work on that.
So I'm trying to think for me. So I just, if anyone follows me on social media, it's at Richie T. Stedman. And you can follow the Cultural Hall. Do that, more importantly, at the Cultural Hall on all your social medias. I did a juice cleanse.
I saw that. What's that about?
It is miserable.
Really? Well, why are we doing it? First of all, let's talk about that.
I was curious about what it would be like.
Okay, so curiosity is what's driving this.
And curiosity is what ended it, too. I'm curious what it would be like to not do this anymore.
I imagine.
So here's the deal. Like, the girl that I'm seeing right now, she's a dietitian. So she and I have watched like these things on Netflix, right? Which, okay, everybody, before you come after me, I recognize that a documentary, even if they try and say that they're fair and balanced, they're not, right? They're pushing an agenda one way or another, typically. But, you know, these anecdotal stories about people who, and I don't think it surprises anyone specifically, like diabetes, right? So if you're a certain type, I think it's type 2 diabetes. Or you're pre-diabetic, you lose a lot of weight, you take care of yourself, and you eat healthier, you can remove the diabetes or pre-diabetes, right?
We've heard.
What's that?
We've heard that.
Yeah. Right? So things like that. So things like that aren't too life-changing, I think, to some people. But there are other things, right? Like these immune deficiency diseases and, you know, all these things where people just genuinely feel lousy. They go to a dietitian and the dietitian says, well, you know, this is an extreme way of doing something, but let's try this. And then the person's like, and then I didn't have to take my pills anymore. And
there's a couple things out there like that. Yeah.
Right. And the cynic in me goes, yeah, okay. But, you know, you hear it enough or you see, you know, certifiable medical things that, you know, she'll share with me. And it's like, okay. I mean, yeah, I guess that makes sense, right? We process the crap out of our food. You know, I would say 50% of Americans are addicted to sugar on some level, that if we tried to give up processed sugar, it would be headaches, it would be withdrawal symptoms, it would be all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a company here which is great here in Salt Lake. They have three locations. It's called Vive. It looks like it should be pronounced Vive, but it's pronounced Vive Juicery. And they do cold press, you know, natural organic juices. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to contact them, see if they'd be willing
to. So how does that work, though?
To let me do it.
Like, is it supposed to be like a multi-day thing?
Yes.
Okay.
So you typically go for 3 to 5 days. Some people will go 7 to 14, right? And for me, what it got to was I needed a bigger motivation than just curiosity to be able to continue to do it. Right? Like, I want to know what this is like. And it was like, well, I feel lethargic because I'm not eating enough calories. My mind is foggy because, you know, I'm withdrawing from these different things.
It's like fasting.
Yeah, right. But it's fasting. I mean, you're still taking stuff in, but it is, you know, it's fasting for multi-days, right? You're
and
like, I
no
feel
spiritual,
great.
Like...
Right, right. Like, even if I would have added a spiritual element to it, I think I could have persisted a little longer.
Okay, so a day.
So I made it 2 days.
2 days. Oh,
yeah.
That's impressive.
And it does a number on your innards, right?
Absolutely, because there's junk.
Because it's a lot. Yeah, it's clean. Yeah. It's cleansing out the junk.
It's doing its job.
And that was less than fun on that end as well. But it was cool. It was a good experience. Yeah. And I think anyone listening to this, like the best way, and people hate to hear this, right? But the best way to lose weight and to feel better is to have a balanced meal that is healthy things. And you can still eat, you know, your terrible things every once in a while, but not huge amounts of them. And
what's that word?
And be responsible.
Moderation?
Yeah, exactly.
What?
Exactly.
Huh.
Scriptures.
Heard
what?
About it.
Joseph Smith, everybody. Yeah. Huh. God gave it to him. But really, I mean, that is what it is. And that's what... A lot of people will do these cleanses kind of for, right? If they do the juices for a few days and then they'll be like, okay, my body is at least in some way reset. Now I want to, you know, eat cleaner.
I and did so that's that sort once of a long time ago, but it was that lemon juice, cayenne pepper thing
miserable.
Or whatever.
Miserable.
Yeah. But this was, would you say, better?
It was better, but it's still hard.
Kind of the same? Kind
different
of
things, like different juices throughout the day. Like your big one at the end of the day was this almond milk, so it had more calories in it, and it had like dates and, you know, some other stuff in it, but it was all juice.
I think I would like that, actually. Yeah.
The thing that I absolutely loved about it was it was meal prep, right? It's 6 bottles that you drink every 3 hours, and I didn't have to worry about going and buying food, finding food, figuring out what I wanted, going through a line, ordering it, all that.
Yeah.
It was someone meal prepping for me. So that part, loved it. Absolutely loved
it. And so
it.
Is everybody's the same, like every client, or do they
No, you can modify it. Yeah, you can modify it to what you want, what you like.
Okay. That's interesting.
What you don't like. You can make it mine because it was a beginner had a little bit some more of the sugary, you know, like apple juice.
Sweeter.
You know, some of the sweeter stuff that had sugar in it. There's ones that you can do that are just straight green cleanses, like your celery and your spinach and your kale and all that stuff.
Hmm.
Which, and they, you know, to their credit, they make them taste fantastic.
Okay. Okay. So it's
but
palatable.
You still are, you're still just going, oh, man, I feel like all I just drank was yard clippings ground down into, you know, into a juice. And
did you find yourself getting really excited for, you're like, when can I have my next drink?
Yes. And I would drink it a little bit early and I'd be like, maybe I'll just nap till the next one. And it just became a counterproductive thing, right? Like I had too much other stuff I needed to be doing.
So
I got what I wanted from the experience. This is what it's like. Now I'm done.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vive.
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 But I did the same thing. I was like, Vive. Nope. Vive. Which is it? No, it's French. Vive. 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 Vive.
I just have to
Vive.
Picture it. V-E-E-V-E.
Yeah.
Vive. I'm good now.
Right. But totally you look good. At it and you go, it's a vibe. It's like when it's live and live, right? You're like, it's live. It live. Son of a. But other than that, if you have not yet taken the chance to listen to the episode that we did and posted last week, episode, I think it's 238, maybe 237. I should look real quick.
I think
quick.
It was 237, yeah.
It's the sexual addiction. Have you listened to it yet?
I was listening to it this morning, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's great.
With my husband, yeah.
It is great.
He was really excited that you guys did that story on it, because that's right now he's working with substance abuse addiction, you know, and so that's another part of it. And it's interesting. I was telling him, like, it's interesting the similarities just in addiction itself, you know, and even for the people that don't have the addiction, where we all go automatically is kind of like the shame, like, what is, you know, especially in the church. But he finds so much hope and positivity in it, and he loves working with it. So it was a really good, really good show. Yeah.
Stephen Kayla, I think is her name. I can't remember. I should have looked it up before we started talking about it. But extremely honest as they talk about their dealing with his sexual addiction.
Very forthright.
And they're working through it. So it's really great. If you haven't had a chance to, or taken the chance to listen to that, do that. You can find that at theculturalhall.com. We're on Google Play. You can find us on iTunes as well as Stitcher, and just listen at the website, theculturalhall.com. So long as we're bringing that up, you'll also notice if you listen to The Cultural Hall on the iTunes feed for this last one, and all the other feeds as well, we added in the guys from the Mormon News Report. And so that is something that I'm kind of very loosely overseeing, but those guys, both Brant and Brian, will be doing a weekly podcast that's a lot like Articles of News.
I was wondering, tell me.
So their hope is that they'll dive a little bit deeper into some of the things that I typically tend to just go with Articles of News. For me, I like to go, hey, here's what's going on with the church that you're a member of. And I think with the Mormon News Report, I think that they'll go a little bit deeper into, you know, some of the more controversial things.
Kind of dig around a little bit more.
Yeah. And they're also doing like blog, you know, some different blog stuff, different people online that we should know about. And truthfully, we're not exactly sure how it's going to work out. It's broken now into a separate feed that people can download and listen to. So you can actually subscribe to the Mormon News Report on iTunes. We did their first episode here with the Cultural Hall. And then it's now a separate feed, but you can always find that at theculturalhall.com too, or by going to Mormon News Report on Facebook. So you can check that out. Let's take a break for a second, and then we'll come back and do actual articles of news.
Imagine running a small business today. It's challenging. Imaging and internet presence is an absolute must. Even with that, you're still a small star in a bright cyber universe. Now, imagine you have someone who understands how to get your site designed for your talents and then easily searched by potential clients. Imagine Lennon Design. Whether it's strictly a website or a whole package of logo creation, advertising media, and promotional materials, Lennon Design is your partner in business. They'll test the boundaries of their imagination to create something unique for you. When you need creative, affordable design, let it be Lennon Design. Call 801-699-3022 or visit LennonDesign.com.
The Cultural Hall wants you to help Utah Food Bank fight hunger statewide. Through your donations of food, time, or money, Utah Food Bank is able to distribute over 31 million meals annually to Utahns facing hunger. Even a $1 donation can be turned into $7.35 of goods and services. 1 in 5 children in Utah could go to bed hungry tonight, and 423,000 Utahns are unsure where their next meal will come from. By donating food at your local pantry or by visiting utahfoodbank.org, you can make a difference.
Hi friends, Dan the Laptop Man here from PC Laptops. I get a lot of emails with feedback from customers. Here's one. Dear Dan, I just had the best experience ever. I bought a computer from Shane at your State Street store. I asked several what I thought were really stupid questions. Shane was super courteous and made me feel comfortable through the whole process. People need to understand how important it is to support a local company, especially when your experience is so good. PC Laptops really does love me. Signed, Satisfied. I love hearing feedback like that. It really just gives me the chills. It's the whole reason why I got into the computer business in the first place. You can get a brand new PC Laptops desktop for as low as $799, and it comes with a lifetime warranty. That means if anything goes wrong, we're going to take care of you. Just check us out at PCLaptops.com. That's PCLaptops.com. At PC Laptops, we really do love you.
It's time for the second half of Articles of News, and we'll do Articles of News. Hit it, Peter.
You can't lose Articles of News.
All right, so the first article of news is, and Kate's taking me to task, well, the microphones are off, so I keep saying the girl I'm seeing, and why don't I give her a name?
And I have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
She has a name.
What is her name?
Jessica. The girl I'm seeing.
I want to talk about Jessica, the girl you're seeing.
For people who have been listening for a while, Jessica is also the same girl as Seaweed, which is a long story. We, instead of going to a football game, we went and tried to buy Seaweed.
Wait, I missed this story.
Yes, yeah, forever ago.
Okay.
University of Utah was playing Southern Utah University, which is where I went to college. game was going on. I said, hey, what do you want to do? She said, I said, hey, there's this football game. The weather was kind of crappy, so I wasn't like, hey, we have to go to this football game. But she's like, you know what? There's a sale on seaweed. They don't have it at the Sprouts here in Salt Lake. There's a Sprouts in Bountiful. Can we go? And I was like, yeah. And so the takeaway from that was that her nickname would be Seaweed. But her name is actually Jessica.
Okay, when I started dating my husband, my now husband, Ben, he had a name on air, too. I was with one of the country stations here, and Keith Stubbs, if you know him.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Runs the Wise Guys. He's a Mormon guy. He was episode 20 here in the Cultural Hall.
Good guy. I liked him. I missed him a lot. He used to call Ben Studebaker because I would not tell say Ben's name on air.
Uh-huh.
And so he'd call him Studebaker. I don't know where it came from, but that was always his name. So that's funny you say that.
Yeah, seaweed. So you have to get... So we can go Seaweed or we can go Jessica. Why don't you weigh in? Contact at theculturalhall.com or go to theculturalhall.com.
I like it.
I sort of like nicknames better. The girl I'm seeing. My kid... Yeah. When I talk about my kid, his name is Braxton. When I talked about him on the radio, I would always say, oh, my kid.
I remember that, too, and I had a problem with that. Right.
I recognize they have names, but the identifier lets you go, oh, I know what's going on.
Yeah.
So you know it's my kid. So
that makes sense. I get it now.
So anyway, I've decided to call him my kid, and that's what I'll call him. So take
all
that.
All right, the kid.
Yeah,
the
it's kid. My kid. Breaking news, you just got a text message. Your kid is what?
My baby girl is crawling.
Now, what's her name?
Olivia.
And the other one's been crawling for a while, right?
Yeah, Luke
is it sort of a competition, man? What?
Yes.
What a couple of jerks, right?
I know. I'm like, slow down. Let your sister catch up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So Luke has been, he's out of control. He's just like, he's
all
big
over.
And strong and, you know, well, he's like 11 months old, but he's big and strong. He's he's been shuffling along the couch. He makes the laps around, you know, the barriers that I have. And
she's just like, I'm fine right here.
She can roll wherever she needs to go. Whatever. You know, my parents will bring it to me and we do. But
that's smart.
She was, she actually had a helmet. And so I think she's a little delayed on that.
Okay.
I should wear a helmet for, you know.
Because it's just like the form of the head, right?
Yeah.
I know Lindsay, throw your hands up in the air. It's her kid had one too. And it's just, it's like protection or something, right?
No, not really. She, with twins, it's common that one of them will get what's called torticollis.
Okay.
Or torticollis. I don't know.
Tortoise something?
Yeah. Flathead, basically. Oh. So actually, torticollis is when they have stiff neck muscles.
Okay.
And they can't have a full range of motion turning back and forth. And so because of that, they're always on one side of their head when they're laying down. And so that leads to a flat skull.
Huh.
Most kids can work it out. The ones that can't, you know, do get a helmet. And so they, it allows.
And you always feel like you have to explain the helmet, right? It's
absolutely.
Like, listen.
Yeah. Because you do. You think you're like, what did I do? I broke my baby. But no, she's just fine.
And
she's
parents are like, no, it's not a big deal. And you're like, I did something in the pre-existence.
What did I do?
This pain.
Now my baby can't crawl. Yeah. She's rolling everywhere and gets mad. But no, she's great. I got the video to prove it.
Oh,
it's
my gosh.
Awesome.
So cute.
Yeah, we're good.
What? How long is it? We should share it on the Cultural Hall social media
so
people can see.
But
Yeah.
Let's
figure out a way to get it, and if you don't mind sharing, we can share what everyone is
with
what they're doing. Okay, let's do actual articles of news. Now, what do you have? We talked a little bit about articles. Did you want to take some of the things that I have set out?
Yeah, I'm going to have to take some of yours.
I'll let you do this one because I think that's relevant to you more than me. And I'll let you do this one because we already sort of talked about it.
Okay.
And I'll let you do this one as well because, again, that's kind of the lady. All right. So here we go. I'm going to start off a little bit.
Yeah, let's do it.
Do you know the name Tanner McKee?
I do not.
He is the number 3 pro-style quarterback. He's a high school kid. He's from Centennial High School out in Corona, California. And this is like they do with a lot of athletes. But this guy's good and real good. And
good
now at football. He's quarterback.
Football. Okay, quarterback. Got it.
And he's decided to serve a mission. Now, he went out to this thing. You know, before these guys do, the college... play college and all that, they have these weekends that are essentially like the combine, which is, you know, for football players that they can, all of them get together from different teams and they kind of all play together, or they, you know, essentially audition for the different recruiters and stuff like that. And so he went out to this thing and they do like Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And so he opted out of the Sunday activities. Like, listen, so long as I can, I'm going to not do the Sunday thing, right? I don't need to do Sundays as a high school player. I don't need to do Sundays as a college player.
It's not a statement. It's just who he is.
Yeah, it's just who he is, right? And he's like, listen, I know that if I go pro, I'm going to have to play, and that's something I'm accepting. But so he went out to this thing, and he was really good. It's called the Elite 11 competition that was in California last month, and he sat out on the Sunday, which meant that he could maybe not get invited to the opening finals. But he did. He ended up getting invited to that, and he sat out on the Sunday for that as well. But people are just like, man, this guy is amazing. So people can look forward to him.
I like the stories like that. Yeah, when it works out like that.
Right.
Yeah, because I don't think it always does.
No, it doesn't. And we've kind of profiled a player, Will Huapuate, who plays rugby in New Zealand or Australia. And he... for a long while, was like, listen, I'm not going to play Sunday. He's really good. He served a mission, got back, and was like, listen, I'm not going to. His contract ended with the team that he had signed before he went on his mission. They were like, yeah, go, and we want you back as soon as you can. When he was negotiating new contracts, he's like, yeah, I'm going to be playing Sundays.
Right.
You know, it got to the point with his team that, you know, it'd be like the championship game or the playoff team, and people... You know, it began to be more of a thing where it was a harsher criticism of the church, right? So you're like, oh, is he giving in? But it's a thing where you look around and you go, listen, lots of people do this and then have the opportunity to share the gospel more because of, you know, whatever situation they get themselves into, right? Like I think of Steve Young. He's one who, you know, not only we talk about, he didn't wear his garments when he played football. Yeah, because how uncomfortable. And then two, he would play football on Sunday and look at how many times he's been able to say, well, listen, I belong to a great church and I still think they're great. And,
you know, there's something to be said too about teamwork, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to let your team down. You don't become this person that, adds all this stuff to the team, and they know how each other plays, and then you step out on them on the most important game of the season. You know, you don't do that.
Right, especially in the name of something that is hopefully unifying, right?
Exactly.
But it's not for everyone, and some people will certainly judge what it is.
There's a time and a place for it all. But good for him for figuring it out.
Moderation and personal revelation.
I don't know.
Okay.
I heard about it.
I guess. This is interesting. So... we've heard of this guy here in Utah before, Fred Carger. He's a guy who doesn't like the church very much at all. He tried to get some ads here in Utah on Comcast, the cable network that was going after the church a little bit to pay taxes.
Yep, right? That's right.
Talking about the City Creek, which is the big mall in downtown, the fact that the corporation of the church, you know, funded it, but...
yeah.
You know, he's like, well, it's some gray area, and I feel like the church should probably pay taxes. Well, now he's turned the fight in to commercials that might be airing in Hawaii. You can see the commercial by going to theculturalhall.com. It's paid for by an organization called Mormon Tips. But they believe that the Mormon Church is not properly paying its taxes and condemns the Hawaii Real Estate Division, which is Hawaii Reserves, which is an arm of the church, for its plan to develop Maliakahana, which is a neighborhood on North Shore in La'ie. They're planning on developing it into 875 new homes, a shopping center, and a school. So it's land that the church owns.
Sounds like a good thing.
That they're planning on making essentially a community in, but they're going to be making money on it. And they think, well, okay, it's a business, so why is the church not having to pay some taxes on it? So you can read the argument there. It's at theculturalhall.com, but it's... The ads are interesting because I feel like for a Hawaiian commercial, I feel like you put Hawaiian people in it.
And it doesn't.
And there are people, well, I know at least one of them from here in Utah, right? So I feel like if you're going to be like, we're really mad about this here in Hawaii, I feel like you at least do us the courtesy of getting Hawaiian people to be in it.
Oh, well, Fred, there you go.
Come on, Fred. if you want to do one of those, let's do it.
One of these. Ooh. Starts with Bikini Be Gone.
Yes.
What modesty at the beach means for Mormons, Muslims, Orthodox Jews, nuns, and more. I actually did read this article ahead of time.
So let me ask you. Yeah. You hit the beach, right? Now.
Yeah.
Now we're gonna be candid, right? Because you got the kids fairly recently. Mm-hmm. Have you been to the beach and or pool since you had the kids?
I have not.
Okay.
Not Not because I don't want to.
Okay.
Or any other, you know, reasons or whatever, other than we just have not had the opportunity.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So, would you rock a bikini? Are you one who would have?
You know, I actually, if I felt confident in one, I totally would. It's never something I've done because I religious, you know, haven't done because of religious reasons or anything like that. But mm-hmm. I grew up with that idea that it's not right. And, you know, young women's, you know, you wear a one piece and everything. When I came out here to Utah, it wasn't like that. And I get it, you know, but I don't know. I've always been that girl that said, you know what, whatever makes you feel good. If that's what, you know, your personal spiritual stuff with your beliefs and all that, it's your business. It's not mine.
It's interesting how uppity we get about it, though, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. It's sad that it's actually a thing and that we have to have a conversation about it. But
and the other part of it, though, too, like if you look in this article, look down to the part about Mormonism. It talks about how in the church handbook of instructions, read that part.
Handbook 2 states that the garments may be removed for swimming. Nevertheless, Mormon women are encouraged to buy swimsuits that uphold the church's general standard of modesty. While this does not mean their suits have to cover as much as the garments would, heaven forbid, they generally are expected to cover midriffs and to wear bottoms with sufficient coverage.
So it's an interesting thing, like what's sufficient, what's, you know, what does that mean exactly, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we've been counseled as well against form-fitting attire. And
what does form-fitting mean?
Well, it fits your form, Richard.
Right. Well, but you know what I'm saying? Because
exactly.
There could be like a form-fitting, like
this shirt,
your sweater
fitting.
Is form-fitting, right?
Exactly.
But I'm not like, oh my gosh. And then Kate came in and I had the hardest time because she was wearing a form-fitting.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
I know. It's hard. Like I saw this article this week about this woman, a complete satire article about men in their suits and how nice men look in their suits and how all the thoughts that she had of men that look good in their suits and then properly cut and tailored suit.
Yes.
I'm like, huh. There you go. You know, it
so
was
take
a
that.
But
yeah,
it is what it is. But
double standard is what you're saying then?
Maybe. I'm not going to comment on that, but you
I'm
know,
I'm neither going to confirm nor deny that.
Take from it what you want. But I think it's interesting that they go through and talk about like Catholic nuns and Muslims and Amish and Mennonite, you know, swimming modesty coverage and everything. So.
So when you return to the beach, what are you going to do? What are you going to rock? Because I would think, right? Because kids love water.
Exactly.
You're moving to Lake Charles.
Lake
Charles.
Not too far from the ocean. There are plenty of beaches down there. You know, I guess it depends. You know, since the mom thing, I've been working really hard on...
Which you look great, by the way.
Thank you.
I assume that's what you're alluding to, right?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. I mean... between you and me and our closest friends here in the podcast world, you know, I'm down almost 100 pounds from this time last year.
Heck yeah.
That is a high five.
Ugh.
Yeah. You know, but that's what happens when you have twins and, you know, your body changes a lot. And I can't say that I will probably ever wear a bikini, but it's not because of my religious beliefs.
Right. So. It's because you feel comfortable going, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll just.
Maybe if I do get to that point, I probably would, but it probably would still be. I don't know, a functional bikini.
Right. It's interesting, though, right? Because then you go, well, so is that because of the shame of everyone else, the way that they would look at you, right?
No, I don't care.
Or
look.
Or are you shaming yourself,
bad?
Right? Is that is that why you wouldn't do it? Because you're just like...
I don't know if it's shame. It's not even that. It's just, what do I feel comfortable walking around in? What's going to be functional for me for the activities I'm doing with my children on the beach? I
right,
don't know.
Right.
You know, if... Is that shame?
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
I mean, only you know, and that's the thing, right?
No, I mean, if I felt awesome walking down the beach, and then is that vainness? I don't know.
Right? Why can't I win right now? Why can't this be a thing?
Why can't I just decide? But no, I don't have a problem with it.
Huh. There's a fascinating thing in there about the burkini, which I had no idea was even a thing.
Where is that in here?
I want to say it's with the Muslim folks because they wear
burkinis,
a burqa.
Full coverage bathing suits made headlines last summer and again recently when they were banned from some beaches in France. They were banned. This type of suit, however, is an option for Muslim women who want to swim in public while maintaining their standards of dress, short of swimming fully clothed, including veil. That is, I'm picturing this right now and having a hard time with that. Leaving only the face, hands, and feet uncovered, the burkini doesn't provide as much coverage as the many types of head coverings that Muslim women generally wear, often wear after puberty, but it conceals the hair in the same way as a, okay, I can't say these words.
Yeah.
Hijab?
Hijab.
Hijab, thank you. Or a headscarf would. So...
It's interesting to me that, yeah, it's interesting to me that it's still like, hey, I can't have that here. Like, what time are we living in?
Like, is that...
Because you're not banning the other side, right? Like, the bikinis that are like a piece of floss that goes up the bum.
So they would rather these women walk around in that than...
Or at least they wouldn't ban that.
Yeah, they wouldn't ban that.
Interesting. I feel like you got to have way more than one ban if you're banning anything. But the point is not ban more, just don't ban stuff. Unless it's, you know, unless it's inappropriate. Unless I'm seeing a little bit of the, and the whoop whoop.
Well, they have those places too. And I guess, I don't know.
For your own. Go to the, if you want that, go to that place.
All right.
This article, I love these, like these small town papers. That pick up like, hey, you guys are Mormon missionaries and we're going to talk to you and we're going to interview you, right? So it'd be like here locally, like it'd be if like the town of Erda, Utah, mm-hmm. right? The Erda paper is going to go talk to the elders or the sisters that live in the area. So this is from, let's see here.
Like, it's from Provo. Okay.
Oh, well, let's see. Where is this from? I'm trying to get where this... Small-timey place. I can't even find this on here. It's the Cron. Cron.com. You can find the link at theculturalhall.com. I don't have it in front of me. But it's... The only people, like how it starts, the only people who can truly understand the hardships that Mormon missionaries face are door-to-door salesmen. I know this to be true because I was a door-to-door insurance agent earlier this year, and after weeks of getting doors slammed in my face and showing people my presentation, only for them to politely decline, it was easy for them to get discouraged. When I heard coworkers joking about Mormon missionaries coming to the door, I explained how they did exactly what we did, except that they did it for no monetary reward, and then they sort of profile these mm-hmm. guys serving a mission. And it's fun to see, and they're... The way that that these small town papers will sort of frame what a mission is, right? After leaving everything familiar behind, 18 and 19 year old young men and women begin their mission in an MTC, which is a missionary training center. Mm. And then it's like, when teaching his disciples about missionary work, Jesus said, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white and ready to harvest. Serving under the direction of a mission president, missionaries are given. So it's interesting just the nuts and bolts of serving a mission and how people look at it. The cost is generally $400 per month, which I don't think has gone up since the time that I served.
It's around there, yeah.
Nearly around $10,000 for a 24-month mission. So... yeah, kind of an interesting thing from a thing called The Cron. And you can find that at theculturalhall.com, the link to that and all the stories that we share here. This is cool. You're going to want to pay attention to this. Are you ready,
attention.
Kate?
I'm
then
ready.
We'll go to your next story.
Okay.
Greg Sappi. I may not be Italian, I'm not sure.
Makes it more interesting.
He is the curator for the L. Tom Perry Special Collections.
Okay. Oh, I miss him.
He's in the cold vault of the Harold B. Lee Library in this picture that you see at theculturalhall.com. And he's got historical manuscripts, rare books, and other artifacts. And there is going to be an opportunity for people to be able to hold an original... like one of the 1830 versions of the Book of Mormon. Like hold in your hand, flip the pages.
Are they going to make me wear gloves?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Just wondering.
Yeah. So it's at the Harold B. Lee Library at BYU. He's the curator, specifically Sepi is the curator for the 19th and 20th century. And for American Archives Month in October...
It's
coming October, and you have to plan ahead because it will be like a sellout kind of thing.
Right.
all the guys in Provo are like, I'm going to get me and my date a spot because that's how we woo them in Provo.
I'm going to do my proposal there. Yeah. Plan ahead, buddy.
Yeah, you put the ring in the book.
Oh, wouldn't that be metal?
What page is... How did that get there? Joseph from the past knew that I was going
to
do
it's pointing to a scripture.
This.
Oh, eternal marriage. What?
It's 121:39. You know, we've learned by sad experience that they gain the power over. Anyway, no, unrighteous dominion. That was a hard shoehorn joke that didn't pay off. He says he'll bring out an 1830 Book of Mormon that students can hold, take their picture with, and turn the pages of.
What's the hashtag? I gotta know.
It doesn't say here. 100 students or more will line up for the opportunity, and about half of them will ask if they in fact are holding a real 1830s Book of Mormon, which they will be. Most of these books, the 1830 versions, obviously were handled by Martin Harris, could have been by Joseph Smith, Oliver Cowdery, all these names for our church history. And you are touching a book that could probably have been touched or possibly touched certainly directly with those who were responsible for helping to create the early days of the church. But that personal individual experience with an extraordinary rare book is something that they have never done before. Do I have details for how you can find out? No, because I haven't reserved my spot yet. So once I reserve my spot, I will let other people know. But I think that sounds awesome.
That's really neat that someone is going to all that work to do that.
Right?
For other people's benefit.
And it's like 100 people. And that's it.
That's it.
So kind of a rare thing. You want to do that one?
Sure.
You can just talk about what you know about it. That article is fairly lengthy.
Yeah, this... it's been in the news lately, but the Book of Mormon movie that the church is filming and the different, well, it's not the movie. That's what actually this article is talking about. You're not going to expect to, you know, when the Book of Mormon series that's being filmed right now is not a cover to cover kind of experience. It's more of like, you know, kind of like the Bible videos were, you know, segments of the Book of Mormon that help promote faith and different stories. And the article was interesting because it said that was it 60 or 80%? That's kind of a big difference. So I'm going to see if I can find it really quick. They cover, I think they said they're going to cover probably about, we'll just say, let's say 60 to 80% of the stories of the Book of Mormon.
And they're doing it here in Goshen, Utah, which if people don't know where Goshen is, no one does.
No one does. I've actually been to Goshen to the set down there, and it is pretty awesome. Have you been down there?
I have not. But as part of the way that I'm going to make my, make my presence known, I want to go down and check it out.
I hope you get the opportunity to. You know, we, the department that makes all those movies is the one I actually work for the church publishing services, and had the opportunity to go down there a couple of years ago. And
they were doing the New Testament stuff,
They had actually wrapped that up. So at this point it was just, you know, who you knew to kind of get in and see what there is to see down there. And then they started doing tours, and then they stopped doing tours when they got word that they were going to be doing this Book of Mormon recording. And the cool thing about this article, I thought, is they were saying that it's not kind of what you picture. You know, they said that if you're hoping for something along the lines of Book of Mormon, the movie, a complete book to screen retelling of the prophets and people comprising the historical record considered holy by the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
I've heard of that church.
Prepare to be disappointed. If you're expecting large battle scenes portraying Book of Mormon wars to the scale of Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy, they shall not come to pass. If you think Nephi and the rest of the cast will be boasting biceps and muscles, Masala, the well-known Arnold Freeberg paintings of the Book of Mormon scene, nope. Remember that? Remember those gigantic
bulging? The Freiberg, the big...
I know.
Swole, where what gym does Moroni go
to? If you see the article, you need to go look at it on the Cultural Hall. Mm-hmm. These guys, not so muscly.
Right.
Normal guys. Yeah. I like that, actually. If you're wondering if the videos will give a nod to any one of the several highly contested theories of the Book of Mormon geography and locations...
Right, like, was it the Yucatan Peninsula? Was it North and South America?
Yeah.
Was it...
We don't know.
Yeah.
And that's not going to happen either.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's...
Wait, so just faith-based films, huh?
Yeah. Basically, what? Have we seen those before? Is that
a
new
thing?
So I don't know. I think it's interesting. You know, they did a lot of research. They talked to a lot of different departments of the church and asked, you know, what do you want to have? What's the message you want? What's the most important to you? And they really tried to make that happen.
Cool.
They talk about they might possibly build another set down in the church's acreage that they own down in Florida, mm-hmm. you know, for the greener parts once they get to the Americas,
oh,
you know, because
cool.
Goshen's not green at all, you know, so there's opportunities out there. There's going to be a lot. It's a couple year project and, yeah, it's pretty cool. I'm excited.
That's very, very cool.
Yeah. Isn't, one of our friendly little family members on the cultural hall?
She, Jenny?
Yeah.
I don't know. Is she doing some stuff with it?
Yeah.
I would imagine. Is she casting it?
She is.
Because she's ethnically vague a little bit?
A little
I would
bit.
Think Janae Manite would also be appropriate for
I
that.
I would have liked to see her in it,
yeah.
too.
But why yeah, Jenny's Jasmine.
I think Jenny posted something that she was down there doing some extra work. Or
oh,
something.
Awesome!
Yeah,
that's great.
We'll have to ask her about
and
that.
And I know she couldn't talk about it when she was on, but the girl from Love Kennedy is casting it as well.
Okay,
they talked off microphone about that she had been cast in that.
Hmm.
So. Because she's a little darker, and I appreciate that they're going true to that. And I also appreciate that they're not going to do it like that terrible movie that came out.
Oh, yeah.
Was that 10 years ago or so?
Yeah.
I remember Kirby Hayborn was Nephi or something.
It's like,
it was just awful.
Oh, you know what's interesting? I actually submitted photos of my twins. They were looking for boy twins. Uh-huh. I have a boy-girl twin.
Uh-huh.
But my...
You just trimmed her hair real short?
her hair won't grow. So, like people actually usually think she's a little boy, but uh-huh. my kids are quite fair-skinned and blue-eyed and everything, so I didn't even get a reply yeah. email, but whatever, I tried. So, whatever.
I love
yeah.
it.
Good
let
stuff.
Let me do a couple more. I'll take that from you because
okay.
I want to save the top page so I remember I got to contact them to get down there.
I actually know people who know people.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
let's know people who know people and get me down there then.
All right.
Because I think we should do an episode from on the set of that. Have you heard of the Diesel Brothers?
I have.
Do you know them? Have you met them before?
I have not, but I know that, yeah, they are.
They've got a show
got
on
a
Discovery,
show.
On the Discovery Channel.
Yeah.
Heavy D and Diesel Dave.
Sounds tough.
Right?
Yeah.
And they've got the beards to back up the names, so fear not as far as that goes. The Diesel Brothers, they highlight their friends' custom vehicle builds, crazy stunts, and elaborate pranks on one another and on other folks. You can find them at diesel.brothers, or you can find a link at theculturalhall.com. But they met in a single adult ward.
Hmm.
And Heavy D, one of the guys, was at the time operating heavy equipment for his uncle's construction business. Diesel Dave got hired to work in that same company to run some equipment, and then they now build and sell diesel trucks through their business, Diesel Sellers. They were on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno back when Jay was the host of that. And Discovery Channel loved him so much, they gave him the show, Diesel Brothers, Heavy D and Diesel Dave. Now, recently, and this is why this is in the news, and you can find a link to all this at theculturalhall.com, Heavy D shared a Facebook post about his experiences as a missionary down in Bolivia.
Oh, on the show?
On his... Social media.
Just in social media.
So
okay.
people, you know.
Gotcha.
He talked about this. He says, this is only part of it. He says, be nice. Look for opportunities to help other people. Sometimes nothing can bring more joy to your life than by putting someone else's needs ahead of your own. And then there's also a great picture, and you can see it with one of the brothers
yeah.
on his mission. Now you
looks
see him.
Different.
You see him in the picture, and he looks like just kind of a clean cut kid. You see him now; he's like big beard, and he's
yeah.
just burly looking. But he's got a kid hanging upside down from him on the mission when he served down in the jungles of Bolivia. So he shared that, and then the other Diesel brother shared a picture of his. Family, his wife and three kids, and talks about family first, and you know, and shared that he was excited and looking forward to being together with them for eternity and what that meant.
That's cool that somebody pulled that as an article that, you know, I guess it's not something that you would expect from these guys with beards and
yeah,
you
right?
know, this like man show kind of thing.
Right.
So.
Some of it being an act, but I love anyone who, you know, if they find themselves a certain amount of fame, who takes a second mm-hmm. and is like, hey, you know what? And I'm this too. and shares that instead of just kind of abandoning it.
Yeah, it's probably, I wonder if it's a conscious decision or if it's just something that kind of morphed naturally. You know what I mean?
It could be. I think, so I think that it has to be, right? Like you think of the bigger name folks, right? You think of Lindsay Sterling, mm-hmm. and she had made the conscious choice to share her faith through her social media. She's not heavy-handed about it, certainly. The piano guy's the same kind of way as I think of other people. I mean, Stuart Edge, hides nothing about it. But there are some who, for a while wouldn't share their faith,
yeah.
I think.
And as people probably started asking questions like, oh, this is a good person, maybe. I don't know. Not that we own the brand on that or anything,
no.
But.
No, I found out we don't, right? Yeah. There are good people everywhere. Did you know this?
I'm starting to realize that, yeah.
It's leaking out. We can't keep it a secret. The online folks that are really raw and honest are the ones that I think people appreciate the most. And I feel like when Mormonism is a part of who they are, they share it. It comes through. So I appreciate that.
I do too.
What else? There is a new exhibit over at the LDS Church History Museum. It's called The Mormon Trails, Pathways to Zion. And you learn some things that maybe you didn't know. Like, did you know, for example, the odometer?
I know the odometer.
Basically a Mormon invention.
No.
Yes.
How?
So on our wagon wheels, when we came west, there was like a little clicker thing that they invented so that they could know how many clicks they'd gone, so they could be able to send word and be like, hey, this is how far this is from this place. And so
that's cool.
A very crude, but a sensual.
I wonder if someone had to stand
not
there.
Not essential, just essential. Not essential. No sensuality at all.
That's a different
show. And someone just stands there. Your job.
count the clicks.
No, it had a way of tracking it.
Okay.
And that's just one of a bunch of things that are there as part of this Mormon Trails Pathway to Zion. If you don't know where the Church History Museum is, you're coming out to Utah for any part of your summer, or you live here and you've just never been, it's 45 Northwest Temple. It's just right next
to
Temple
Square. It's worth a visit. It's really, really awesome.
And you can see some really cool artifacts there that they have just on display for people. It just opened. I think today. If I'm reading this correctly, I think it just opened today. So you can find out all about it. You can find out a little bit about your ancestors. Tons of interactive stuff and tons of stuff for kids, too.
Yeah, it's really great for your kids. They'll like it.
So if, a lot of Utah, moms or dads are like, what am I going to do with my kids? We've been to the water park. We've been to this. We've been to Discovery Gateway. We've been to all that.
Yep.
That's just another thing you can take
just
your kids to.
Just kind of a tip on that, too. My friends that have come to Temple Square usually will go do, a tour at the conference center around Temple Square, and then usually try to hit the museum last.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to make a suggestion and do that first.
Okay.
Because it's actually a lot more fun and interactive for kids and families. Like, the other stuff's really great, too. Don't get me wrong. But you'll want to spend more time there than you think you would. They just redid it last year, I think. I think it was just
They've been working on it, and now they've got this brand new thing, and they're bringing in all sorts of cool things, but not like that cool curator down in Utah County who's going to let me hold a Book of Mormon, Greg Sappy. You've got that story. I don't know where to work that in with the four stories that we've got left.
What do you think?
So let me do two, then you do one, and then I've got another one.
Okay.
President Trump just appointed Mormon Randall K. Quarles. Do you know who that is?
Brother Quarles? Yeah.
Brother Quarles?
No.
He is going to be the Federal Reserve's top watchdog overseeing Wall Street, and will play a leading role in President Trump's administration's plans to reduce financial regulation.
Oh, that sounds important.
Yeah. Mr. Quarles would be the first to serve in the role of vice chairman for supervision, which Congress created after the financial crisis to sharpen the Fed's focus on regulatory issues. Hmm. He's a member of the Fed's Board of Governors. He would also have a vote on monetary policy. The position requires Senate confirmation, but Republicans who hold a majority can confirm Mr. Quarles without support from the Democrats. So way to go, Brother Quarles.
Yeah, it's a good story.
Then there's this. Did you ever read the book Where the Wild Things Are?
I did.
Did you see the movie?
No.
I didn't see the movie either. No. I really liked it. It's the book with like the monsters on it. And it was a big thing probably, what, 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
I remember like it was what everybody wanted to be for Halloween, all the
it's
little
kind
kids.
Of, it's all over Pinterest. Like that's a big, big baby nursery theme.
Yeah.
I feel
yeah.
like, yeah.
Because the book is so good.
Yeah.
Maurice Sendak, who is the writer and illustrator of Where the Wild Things Are. What this article is about is that he did, in fact, do the cover artwork of the 1969 November issue of what was then called The Children's Friend. Mackenzie Lee was an intern at the children's magazine when, while rummaging through archives of past issues one afternoon, happened to recognize one of the covers. It was like, this looks a lot like Maurice Sendak, the guy who did, you know, Where the Wild Things Are. And sure enough, there it is. Opened it up and saw Maurice Sendak. Sendak was actually the artist of this thing. But why, puzzled Lee, the intern. I love how some things are written. The Caldecott-winning artist and outspoken atheist, why would they do the cover art for an LDS magazine? And no one seems to know the answer. But Lee, a lover of mysteries, whether it be Agatha Christie or Nancy Drew, was determined to find out. Searching for the painting online, she eventually came across the Rosenbach Museum, which had collected Sendak's works following his death. From there, she traced the painting to its original owner, Justin Schiller. Lee then smelled victory, but it was not to be. Schiller purchased the painting from Sendak in 1970, but didn't know more about the painting than Lee did. All I can recall was that Maurice told me at the time he had a friend associated with the magazine who asked him to illustrate a cover design. I do not recall the name of the friend ever being mentioned, he told Lee in an email. Hoping to discover who the friend was, Lee searched the staff names in November 69, issues, tables of contents, obtained the records, and started calling people. This is some investigative work
that
for a cover.
A lot of work, yeah.
One recipient of Lee's inquiries supplied her with the answer that she craved.
What?
That was my mom. The man told her. He knew the whole story. In the 1960s, Gladys Danes was the managing editor of The Children's Friend. In 1962, she had bought a copy of Where the Wild Things Are and fell in love with its boxy, whimsical art, Lee said in her blog post. So, bold as brass, she called up Maurice Sendak and asked to visit him. She flew to his house in New York. They had a good chat and they hit it off. Sendak was more than willing to do the cover of the magazine when asked, though he held on to the original artwork since he was a prominent illustrator. Lee said usually the friend kept the art that it commissioned. Mm. However, in this case, they didn't. Lee is now a New York Times bestselling author of the young adult's book, The Gentleman's Guide to Vice and Virtue, and has received numerous awards for her debut novel, The Monstrous Thing. Kind of interesting,
go.
Huh?
Yeah.
That is some detective work.
A lover of mysteries, I'd say. Yeah.
Well, from Agatha Christie to Nancy Drew. I love the way that we write stuff. We can't just be like, well, she kept wanting to know.
I know.
We have to flower it up a little bit.
We're good at that.
So now we get serious for a minute.
Okay. Yeah, this is not one of those happy ending stories. Not long ago, so just hours after giving birth to her second daughter, Meg Bostwick, 27, died from complications due to a brain tumor. She left behind a husband, two children, and a legacy of hard work and kindness. This actually, it happened really quick. That's why I think this is so heartbreaking. Let's see here. In early May, Meg started having some headaches, and her second pregnancy was a little tougher than her first. So we kind of attributed it to her pregnancy, her husband, Scott Bostwick, said. It was only a few weeks after the headaches began, however, that Meg experienced a seizure while on her way to the hospital. She was rushed to the Logan Regional Hospital and stabilized, then transported to Intermountain Medical Center in Murray for further tests. It was there that a team of oncologists and neurosurgeons diagnosed Meg with a stage 4, I'm not going to say this right, glioblastoma tumor?
Sure.
Located in an inoperable spot in her brain. Meg's only available option was radiation and chemotherapy, but at 26 weeks pregnant, the Bostwicks knew that would be difficult. The doctor's recommendation was to stay off Google for a while, meaning we all go into Google and we all think that's the
worst thing. I've got this.
Yeah, it's so easy to do. Scott said he didn't listen, however. He's like, when you look at the statistics on a glioblastoma grade 4, it's not as if you're going to pass. It's how much time you have left before you're going to pass. Mm. That's unfortunate. 2 weeks later, as the Bostwicks and the neuro-oncologist prepped Meg, prepped to start Meg's radiation, a severe seizure caused her tumor to hemorrhage. The mother-to-be was placed on life support, and doctors delivered her second daughter, Kennedy, via C-section on June 14th, nearly 12 weeks before her due date. Mm. She remained on life support as family members said their last goodbyes. A few hours later, she passed away before meeting her newest daughter. Mm. Kennedy Meg Bostwick, the baby, is currently in the neo-intensive care unit, and though there are up days and down days, her father hopes he'll be able to bring his new daughter home on her original due date of September 5th. Jeez. So they've got a little challenge, a little journey ahead of them. I like this part. He said, I just promised Meg that her girls are going to be taken care of and will always remember who their mom was and what a great lady she was. She's a hardworking, caring lady who took care of everybody's needs before hers. Just a smart girl that took care of everybody else. Sound like they're just really just a great family. You mm-hmm. know, they'd paid off their house, and you know, she was a University of Utah graduate, and she had a bachelor's degree in nursing and had a doctorate degree, and just it's those stories, you know.
Right. They're hard.
They are so hard, and you know it.
Especially the thing that's hard for me, right, is like, here's a mom who's doing the best she can, and she's yeah. just about to have daughters. There's a lot of really terrible people. Like, let's off those, God. right. Let's.
I mean, okay, I'm glad you said it, because right? I was thinking it. Yeah, right? Exactly.
I mean, that's not how it works, right? And I don't want to taint the memory of it and anything like that. And she, you know.
Just a good person and just doing the best that they can and probably contributing a lot and has great kids and great family and mm-hmm. a lot of support and. You know, you just don't know.
You look forward to the plan that we all believe in, right? That we'll get to be together again.
Yeah.
When we die.
Absolutely.
This, and then we're done. You ever read anti-Mormon literature? Ever been handed it to you?
Definitely. Absolutely. It has been handed to me. Have I studied it vigorously? No.
Yeah. So this is an interesting article. This is from Jana Reese over at Flunking Sainthood or the Religion News Services, and it's interesting to me because so much of what you're going to find now is online, right? Mm-hmm. So the article, the takeaway I got from it was two things. One is that basically literature in general, right, like pamphlets, are pretty much becoming a thing of the past, right?
Right.
You go after organizations, religions, those things, so strictly online. But she also talks about how in, you know, just 15 years ago with the Olympics, there was all sorts of anti-Mormon literature, both online and books that were being published. And then she outlines in this article, which you can find at theculturalhall.com, some of these things that are coming out from publishers. And, you know, there's like one or two books that are coming out from these main publishers, people like Harper, like this is, what's the publisher here? Can't find it. But these bigger publisher names who would have in the past been publishing, you know, certainly more than one a year, and that it's just not a thing anymore. Whether it's because people know about the Mormons, whether it's because it's all online, whether it's because people just don't care. As much anymore, but it does give you an idea of what some of the things that are anti-Mormon that will be coming out. There's a book that will be out in January that's called, it doesn't have the title here, but it focuses on the LDS Church's attempt to wrestle control of the Salt Lake Tribune, because it owns Deseret News and it wants to own the Trib, right? So it talks about both sides of that whole thing. Rachel Jeffs, the daughter of FLDS leader Warren Jeffs, has a memoir that's coming out in November that, you know, might be an interesting read. And then there's some self-published things like this one, Deceptions, Ages, Mormons, Freemasons, Extraterrestrials. So just gives you a forecast as to what is coming on the anti-Mormon literature. And I think that it is an interesting thing, right? I can't tell you last time I saw a pamphlet.
No.
It's like, no. And even the protesters, it's like, well, okay, maybe don't do that. I'm tired. It's hot. It's hot outside. I'll get you online.
Follow me here.
Yeah.
Here's my Twitter.
For more information, follow me at The Mormon Church. No good. Or whatever.
Yeah.
We hope that this episode has nourished and strengthened your body.
Yes, we do.
And we hope that that if you are sick or afflicted that you and weren't able to listen this week, that you'll be healthy enough to listen next week, and that when the time comes, you'll be able to travel home in safety. In the meantime, we'll be saving a seat for you on the back row of the Cultural Hall.
Save me a seat. It's sure to be neat on the back row. We really gotta go on the Cultural Hall show.